This is Gamercast episode 345. Bye, Don. This is the show recorded on the 1st of July, 2013. Yeah, I'm your host. My name is Paul, and joining me this week is Catherine.
Hello.
Hello. So what's happening?
Not much, and you'll kind of guess, well, people listening will kind of get that from the short show that I imagine.
Short show, which normally
it
means
will
it's
be a short show.
Well.
It will be short because it's really hot, and I don't like uncomfortable weather, which is heat.
It's not even that bad today.
I think it is. Well, this thing's heating my hand up.
The surface is getting hot.
Or maybe my hand is hot and heating it up. It's probably my hand.
Oh my god, you can actually feel heat on the surface. Normally this thing is like stone cold.
It's because of me. My hands are all hot.
Now for the news.
Yeah, just before we start the news, actually. Anyone watching on YouTube, you can join the chat room at gamercast.net/live. Because that's where I'm like looking at stuff.
Yeah, that's where people will be chatting.
The comments over here,
and
yeah, I don't see
attention.
Them. Because I got my setup.
Your setup.
Yeah, so join the chat room. Comment on whatever jib-jab we're talking about. And until you do that, let's go over to Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hello. So, yeah, as I said, not much news is going on at the moment in the world of video games. First up, which I thought was good because I was a backer of it. It was a slightly controversial back on Kickstarter, though. And that's Armacrog, which is a...
Like Omicron, but spelt and pronounced differently.
Do you mean it's a weird word like Omicron?
Well, yeah, it's almost the same. It's got that I in there, hasn't it?
I guess. Yeah, so... A new claymation stop motion, which is claymation, for anyone who doesn't know what claymation is.
Why didn't you tell me that's what this was?
What?
I love that sort of thing. I'm going to look at the screenshots while you talk.
You can watch a video if you want.
I'm not actually doing it.
Yeah, so claymation point and click made by the people who made Neverhood, which originally came out on PC. Back in 96, I believe. Yeah, it's like two guys at Pencil Test Studios and Duckton Apple. There's probably a few more people that they'll get on, like a producer or something like that, because I don't think they have anyone like that. But yeah, it made its money, which was $900,000. They even made their first stretch goal, that's the one. Which
stretch
was goal. For $950,000. They would then also develop it for Wii U.
Wii U.
They spoke to Nintendo at E3 apparently, and they've got stuff going on. And they're going to do some Wii U specific features, which they've done some concepts for on the Kickstarter. Of course, they don't have to do everything that they show on there. They could completely change it and do something
else.
Yeah,
they could scrap the whole project and keep the money. One of the many benefits of Kickstarter.
But yeah, there was a lot of controversy about the Armacrog Kickstarter because Doug Tenapple is very Christian, apparently.
Who's Doug Tenapple?
He's the guy he had a lot to do with Earthworm Jim on like SNES and Mega Drive and stuff like that, as well as Neverhood. But yeah, apparently his thoughts on, I think it was like homosexuality and stuff like that, was posted a lot on the net a few years back, and a lot of people were trying to boycott their Kickstarter. And moan about it. And there were lots of people that were like, oh, I'm not going to pledge it because then I'm backing that kind of person. So yeah, they did actually really good. They're one of the highest backed Kickstarters. Not, of course, as high as Double Fine's, but they're like, I think it was like fourth or fifth on the list that I saw. They had 18,126 backers, and they made
$974,578.
They nearly made a million, which is pretty crazy. It would have been probably nice if they just hit over that goal.
Do you know what Elite Dangerous made?
How much?
More than that.
Okay. But what
David
was...
Braben.
Is that your David Braben dance?
I need a jumper to do the dance.
Okay.
From Marks and Spencer's.
It what? Why M&S?
Because in one of his videos, people were always making fun of the fact that he wore these stupid jumpers.
What, and he said they're from M&S?
And then people ask him where they can buy them.
Oh, really?
And he was like, explaining to them that in Britain, we have, you know, this place called Marks and Spencer's. And most of them are bought to them as Christmas presents and stuff.
Wow.
I thought it was quite amusing.
That is weird. Marks and Spencer's. Now all that's on my head is jumpers from Marks and Spencer's. I don't even know what I was talking about now.
Like in his last video, he was pointing out it was too warm to wear a jumper, otherwise he'd be wearing one.
How much they made. Is he just going to have like a load of parcels coming at Frontier of jumpers?
Probably.
Yeah, so they did alright. They're making the game. I don't think it's got a full-on schedule release date, probably at some point next year, but I'm looking forward to it. I met the two guys, Mike.
Uh-oh.
And I can't remember the name. I feel bad that I can't remember the name of the other one. So I think Mike gave me his card. Mike and but yeah, so Mike and other guy, I'm trying to remember his name. They were both lovely guys, because they were kind of showing the, well, they weren't showing the game off. They had the puppet for Tommy Nort, who's the main character from the game. They had him, and they're taking pictures with their fans and backers with him, and they were also then trying to promote the game and talk to other people and stuff like that.
Sounds fantastic.
But they were lovely guys, and I'm sure, as they've got such experience with Claymation, they'll do a good job on it as well. So yeah, that's cool. Next up, Contrast. So we mentioned this when I was talking about E3 stuff, I think. Yeah, so Contrast, that I mentioned when doing my kind of previews / things I played from E3. Excuse me. Has been... Well, it's had some more screenshots released, which is really nice. Sadly, no more confirmation on the release date. Which is currently at the end of this year around some point. They want to release it across all platforms that they're releasing on, which is, of course, PC, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 4. They do want to release on Xbox One if they can. It all just depends on the self-publishing methods that might appear for the Xbox One, depending on what happens with that. Oh, I was like, have you just muted me? It's like, oh, no, you muted the speakers. But yeah, what's quite nice is that, so we gave Contrast a Best Platformer award for E3, but it's nice because they actually got a few other awards as well, and nominations as well, including things like Best Indie and stuff like that. So that was really cool for them. I can't wait for that game. I just wish they announced some more info, like, on the date. A shout out to a new game coming out from Paradox, although it's actually a release of a game that's been out for a while, I believe, or at least a little while, and it's called Teleglitch. So it's a survival horror action game, top down, kind of pixely, looks quite cool and looks really interesting. I watched a video for it on the Paradox YouTube, either way, but it looked pretty fantastic. There was actually a game made at the Game Jam that I went to back in January that was in a way similar to this, but they've kind of honed it a bit more. But you're in like a military research station in the middle of some form of catastrophe that's taken place. It features procedurally generated levels, and you can craft and combine weapons. And there's apparently a constant risk of permadeath.
Permadeath.
Everyone loves permadeath these days. So yeah, you'll never know how long you'll last for. But they're releasing a Die More edition. So Paradox are doing a physical release of the game. It's coming out. Oh no, wait. Oh, is that not actually physical? I would have thought physical. They like to do physical. Maybe send a digital release. For PC, Macintosh, and Linux this summer for $12.99. So around about that price, probably like a 10 or something like that. I can see you. And yeah, anyone who's already got Telegrid, so similar to what they did with Knights of Pen and Paper recently, anyone who's already got the game, you'll automatically get upgraded to the Diamore Edition for free, which is always nice when companies do that. Stop playing around. So from getting the Diamore Edition, if you didn't buy have the game already, or from letting it do the free upgrade, you get 10 procedurally generated levels.
I thought you were going to say 10 procedurally generated leprechauns.
Yes. I guess that means there's 10 new procedurally generated levels that have been added into the mix. Over 20 types of deadly, relentless enemies, dozens of weapons and items, which can be crafted and combined into improvised tools and deadly devices. See, this sounds like it's just talking about the whole game as opposed to what they've added. Oh, okay. Diamond Edition has new branching bonus levels, such as the robotic hardware assembly, the damage statistics department, and the unstable product reconfiguration. You get access to new items and weapons, and smarter and deadlier enemy AI. So yeah, the things I was mentioning before is just info on the game. It sounds interesting, and it's pretty cheap, so I imagine it'll be up on Steam and stuff like that. For, I reckon, about a tenner. You should watch the video. It looks good. There's no post on the GamerCast website. I have to put something up, so you can see what it is. So Professor Layton is coming.
Professor Layton.
Professor Layton's son.
Son of Professor Layton.
I think it's his son. I watched the video for it. Alfendi Layton. Alfendi. It's a weird name. Professor Layton game called Layton Brothers Mystery Room, and it's coming to iOS. Just iOS, I believe.
iOS? Does anyone use that anymore?
It's quite different to Professor Layton, though. So anyone who plays or has played or even seen Professor Layton will know that what it actually is logic puzzles. So the kind that you get in, like, IQ tests and things like that. Or, of course, more aiming for children and families and stuff like that. So, you know, having the... Is it a lamb cross the river, but it can't be on the same side as the wolf? You know that. Do you know that? You know that puzzle, right? No, you don't. And they've got to cross a river. The certain things can't be on the same side as each other because they'll eat each other. What?
Who gives a... if a lamb and a wolf are pure mad dancing about...
It's a puzzle. And you've got to do it as least moves as possible. It's a puzzle, believe me.
Why don't you just pick the lamb up and chuck
it? You can't throw the lamb over the river. It's not how the game works.
I've been taught recently to think outside the box.
Okay, thank you, Paul. You have limitations, though, so you'll get certain criteria. However, in this one, instead of solving puzzles in that kind of way, you're solving deaths. Yeah. And you're going to crime scenes and looking at the body and looking at evidence all around. So it's quite different. It's more Sherlock Holmes than Professor Layton. But it's only going to be $1.99 for... Okay. Oh, wow, you've got to pay...
Oh, wow.
Jeez,
Louise.
All right, case pack one is $1.99. Okay, no, I was just reading that crazily expensive. iOS, solving murders. It's got the same kind of Professor Layton style in like little animated cutscenes. However, the crime scenes are 3D and don't have the same visual style really. The colours are kind of similar and it looks kind of interesting. I'd be kind of tempted to pick it up. Probably if I had a bigger thing than my little iPod though. But they're doing it in two packs because it's 9 murders that you're solving in total.
Murder.
So there's case file pack 1, which is files 3 to 6, which will be $1.99. Case file pack 2, which is 7 to 9, which will be $1.49. You get the first two cases for free, and the other 7 are in-app purchases. So if you want to have the whole game, you know you're going to be paying $3.50.
And Apple will be getting a 30% cut. Congratulations.
But it looks quite interesting. It's nice to see Level 5 releasing an iOS game. I imagine they might have already done something anyway. But I don't usually keep up with iOS releases that much. It's available in English only in all territories, except for in Japan, where it's available in Japanese.
I'm interrupting this.
Oh, I saw you post this on Facebook, but I didn't see...
This was funny stuff I saw today. So this was a post on some forum.
Okay.
A few years back. Basically, so the Quake 3 AI had like this learning capability in them where they would learn, you know, how to play against you and what would be successful and so on and so on. And someone left a server running apparently for 4 years straight with 16 bots just playing against each other.
And how could you leave a server running for 4 years?
Easy.
As in just an online server that he purchased. Okay.
So apparently the bots, after 4 years of fighting against each other, realised that fighting was actually not a good thing. So they were just stationary on the server.
Is it not just that they broke?
No, they still worked.
Okay.
So, yeah, the guy said, because you can see on like the server monitor what bots are doing. And it was set up as a deathmatch server, just 16 players on monitor. So he said he logged into the server because everyone was telling him to log in and see what happens, because everyone was saying, oh, you'll probably break the harmony of the server and blah blah blah.
Oh yeah.
So he logged in and says, okay, that was pretty effing weird. I joined the server and the bots just stood there, but the effed up thing was they would rotate to look at me. I walked around a little bit and they all just kept looking at me, so I grabbed a railgun and fragged one of them. They all ran for the nearest weapon and took me down, and the server crashed. Don't really know what to say about this. And yeah, basically all the bot AI files had grown to 250 megabytes. yeah.
Is that not just then that they actually stopped working properly?
No, they'd learned fighting, because depending on how it's set up, maybe it's rigged so that the lower the kill to death ratio, they'll try and get to that state. And obviously the optimal state would then be zero kills and zero deaths. And so if the bots are all working towards that, eventually, yeah, they'll just stand there and not do anything. So I just thought that was a cool little thing I just read today. Anyone watching in the chat room, the link to the page is there if you want to go read it for yourself. Or it's on my Twitter feed earlier today and retweeted by loads of other people. But yeah, I thought it was really good. Obviously, we don't know if it's true, but that is not surprising. You know, if it's set up that way to reward
that's zero a massive deaths. File though.
Well, yeah, that's per there's two 256 meg files per AI, so it's using 8 gig of his hard drive and potentially RAM. Yeah, it's a cool little thing. Nice, I came across and just proves that Quake 3 still kicks bottom.
bottom. So yeah, on the kind of survival horror theme, I probably should put them next to each other, but I didn't, so whatever. Routine, which is an upcoming indie survival horror style game, has had a trailer announced, or a trailer released. It's a game made by, it's either three or four people. The kind of press release said three people, whereas their website said four people. But it says it's the team of three with their music guy, so maybe their website just counted all of them together.
The chat room says Routine looks great.
Yeah, so what Routine is, you could liken it to things like, of course, like Moon. It's kind of a 80s inspired...
That terrible film.
The film where I play the music and it creeps you out.
With the guy on the moon. Yeah. And there's clones of the guy.
You just spoiled it for people.
It's been out for years.
There's
no spoiler alert system for things being out that long.
Yeah. Is there not?
No.
Is there a system for spoilers? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Okay. If it's The Last of Us, we just say it straight out.
No.
This is how it ends.
I just need to get another 50% in.
It's going
to
be too late. The Quake AI bots are going to come in the game and Pure just start causing trouble.
Yeah, so Routine's inspired by kind of 80s... aesthetics and stuff like that. I thought the cutest thing in the trailer was this tiny little robot thing. Like, he came up. Did he come up some an escalator? Was that afterwards? And well, he came into an area, and you could hear this little shuffling noise. But it was this weird little robot with a sad face on it. It looked quite cute, if you ask me.
You know, you said this show was going to be short.
Okay, I'm sorry. So yeah, there's a trailer for Routine. You should check it out. It's a kind of horror. I'm guessing space game. You don't really see any space in the trailer. Moon base. There you go. It's an abandoned moon base.
Moon base? Didn't me and Adam Clough going to build a moon base at some point?
So yeah, it's...
How's that going? Have we managed to get some money for that yet?
No, set on abandoned moon space. First person horror exploration, as they call it. With a heavy emphasis on hiding, survival and permanent death. A non-linear experience lets you explore any part of the base, including hidden areas that other players may not find. Number of randomized environmental hazards, AI locations, and floppy disks to update the software for your cosmonaut assistance tool. Be immersed in dead zone, aiming, full body awareness, no HUD, no health bars, just you and your ability to survive. You can watch a trailer and they kind of get... The player gets sinned by some robot and all this kind of stuff while you're downloading unknown files from a computer, which kind of confused me a bit. But yeah, it's an interesting looking survival horror game. I would call it a survival horror, although they're calling it more of an exploration. So whether that means there's less in the combat side of things. Because it sounds like with the lack of HUD and health and everything like that, you won't really know that much about when you're initiated into combat and you probably just get killed. But it's coming out 2013 at some point. Like this here says early 2013. It's past early 2013 now, I'd say. And it's come out for Windows and Macintosh. Next up, Jack and Daxter news. Jack and Daxter, of course, in some people's eyes, better than Ratchet and Clank. I totally disagree with them because I think Ratchet and Clank is the superior platformer. Because it's got cooler characters in my eyes. I know many people that will disagree with me. But yeah, to kind of... I just suppose as a new thing to announce, Gaming Heads, who make a lot of figures. They made the TF2 figures. Are you okay?
Yeah, why
Paul's,
not?
Paul's dying off screen right now. Hay fever? I don't really know. Yeah, so they've now decided to do another Sony one. They made one for... Really, they made that? They made the Kratos figure for the God of War Ascension Collector's Edition. And they're making a Jack and Daxter one with Jack with Daxter on his shoulder. It's fairly detailed. I don't think it's as good looking as it could look. Pretty sure Gaming Heads were the people that made the Half-Life ones. But yeah, there's a regular edition of Jack and Daxter statue that is limited to 750 units, or you can get the exclusive exclusive edition, which is kind of gold looking, which I didn't think looks great. Oh, a bronze finish, which is only 350 that are being made. Or it's in the All Stars range. So yep, there's that. Taxi Journey, a little game from, I always have trouble saying their name, Lexis Numerique. I don't know if that's right. They're a French studio. So they've announced a new little kind of, I wouldn't really call it an adventure game. A mixture of adventure and puzzle style gameplay. You guide a taxi driver called Gino and his passenger Zoe through faraway lands where they meet interesting characters and those who wish to stop you from reaching your goal of getting somewhere to the end of your journey. It's a really nice kind of hand-drawn style game. And yeah, just kind of announcing that they've got a Kickstarter going on. There's a lot of Kickstarters going on, of course. But the game looks quite cute and interesting.
We should demand a fee from Kickstarter for all this mentioning again.
Their Kickstarter finishes on the 27th of July. They want to get £150,000. It's something like $230,000. If you pop on our website, we've got a link to it where you can watch the trailer and have a look. $20 secures you a copy of the game when it's released. Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing news. There's a DLC pack out, which is the Blue Blood DLC pack.
Blue Blood!
Which enables you to turn Lady Katarina? That looks like Katrina, but Katarina. Oh, Katarina. Into a better monster hunter thanks to a new accessory that opens up a whole new tree skill. What happened?
Some dude joined a chat room and wants some paranautical activity. What? I don't see what's wrong.
Really? I can't read my text.
Looks perfectly readable from where I am. Well, I'll just read it from there. What do you want? Killer is dead.
Yeah, the Blue Blood... I can't really read the rest of this. The Blue Blood DLC pack is $149.
It's on the epic screen. I will play with this.
Okay. See, now I've got to read it from there. Where it's further away.
Oh, now you're
face.
Actually looking at the camera rather than looking down.
Oh, sorry. Van Helsing came out end of May, if I remember right. But yeah, the DLC pack mainly expands on Lady Katarina, if that's how you say her name anyway. Paranautical activity, what?
Stop reading that and read what you're supposed to be reading.
I'm sorry,
for the show.
I'm reading both of them. But yeah, you get the DLC pack for $149, so it doesn't look like it expands stuff on Van Helsing. But yeah, so Killer is Dead has had, well, Suda's, if I'm right in thinking, unless
is this that pseudo game?
Suda 51, Goichi Suda.
Is that guy who was pure mad dafting about in one of our videos?
Mad dafting about?
Hi.
Not really, but chatting. Only 3 questions, sadly. But yeah,
is
so
that all?
We only got to have 3 questions. We were rushed at 3. We were told, when we were doing our second question, that our next would be the last, and I was like, oh.
I'd have been, look, mad dafties, unless you want some guy on my podcast to start saying mad dafty every 2 seconds.
We had, 10 or so questions lined up. It's because, of course, the time it takes to then translate your question to Japanese, say that to them, have them say it back, and then him say it back. It's a long, lengthy process.
I know. Just teach him English.
So, yeah. Killer is Dead is having a fan edition, which is kind of like a collector's edition, coming out. This, as far as I'm aware, is it's the first pseudo collector's edition that's coming out in the UK. There may have been some things released over in Japan for previous games. But we didn't really get anything like that over here. But there's a fan edition, as well as, I think it's a special, or limited edition. The fan edition is going to contain some physical items, as well as digital things. So you get the Smooth Operator pack, which contains
Smooth Operator.
Contains an additional mission, which is the Gigolo glasses, the mysterious Betty for Gigolo mode, and an unannounced item. So these are like a pair of glasses he puts on, and then you can
Gigolo
see
or Gigolo.
Oh, sorry, Gigolo. Gigolo, sorry. That he can put on, and then he sees. I don't think they're naked. I think ladies in their undies. So you get to see a bit more of them. It's like a weird mode.
But only ladies, right? I don't walk around and see blokes like that.
As far as I'm aware, the only,
because that's the trade off I'm not willing to make,
that you put them on is when you're talking to ladies. It's kind of like an in between thing when you're doing missions and stuff like that. But yeah, you play Mondo Zappa in the game, and he's like some, well, he's based, as Sudra says all the time, on James Bond. So he's like this super awesome spy who gets all the ladies, which is obviously why he's got these glasses, so he can see ladies' underwear. I'm not sure what the purpose of it is, really, because surely then he can just do stuff with ladies as opposed to just look at them through glasses.
Yeah, surely that gets rid of half the point.
But it's just a weird little addition that the game has to it. They released a trailer a while back through Famitsu or something like that, and they were questioning, what is this weird, crazy mode that's been added into the game? And you also get an unannounced item in the Smooth Operator pack. I don't know if they're still maybe confirming what the piece of DLC is or something like that, but I don't know. You get a poster. The size hasn't been specified, whether from the poster that's shown in the picture, it's a very long poster, so it's not a standard A size. But the bigger the better, I suppose. It looks more like a wall thingy.
Looks like a poster.
Big poster. I can't think what they're called. You get the full CD soundtrack, which is composed by Akira Yamaoka. A full colour art book. The size has also not been specified. It'd be lovely if it was an A4 art book, but I'm not sure if it would be. Exclusive packaging and a paper craft diorama for you to cut up and put together. You generally stick them together with glue and use cocktail sticks. That's the best method for making paper crafts. But yeah, it's $54.99 for pre-order. The limited edition just has the Smooth Operator pack in it, which is $49.99. Last time I saw, Shop 2 have it available for pre-order, but that's the only place at the moment as it is. Sadly, Game don't seem to be selling it. I haven't popped on their website recently, though, so I might have another look and see if they have it or someone else as well. Not that I have anything up against Shop 2, really, though, to be fair. So Microsoft news. So Don Matrick, is that how you say his name? Or
yep.
Has from sources and some website, apparently he's left Microsoft. Apparently.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Well, you said you saw it coming, didn't you? But Steve Ballmer was doing... what's the term? Restructuring.
He's doing a reorg anyway.
Reorganization of the studio. Or Microsoft. Of Microsoft?
Yeah, Microsoft, isn't it?
In general.
Better reflect their device and services business.
Yeah. I saw someone say that... Is it Spencer?
Is he the Phil Spencer.
Phil Spencer potentially taking his job? And Phil Harrison taking Phil Spencer's job?
Get Jay Allard back.
I was going to say that to you when I was talking to you about it earlier. I was like, do you think they'll get Jay Allard back? He was in that video.
No, not after what? Not after the kin. They won't get him back.
See, that's kind of...
I don't see why people are surprised about it.
I'm not really surprised. Everyone's like, wow, he's left. And then potentially going to Zynga, apparently.
Presidents and executives at Microsoft don't typically last long.
No, you can see that from Jay Allard.
You can see that from Steven Sinofsky. Ships Windows 8, week later, sacked.
Was it Don who went on last year at E3?
I don't know. Don's been president of Xbox since 2007 or something.
Oh, really? So he's been there a while.
Well, yeah, he was a bloke that turned it in from Jay Allard's massive loss-making business into a business that was borderline profitable. So,
and that's why apparently Zynga's shares have risen with the potential of him going over there. Apparently Zynga aren't doing very good. I don't really pay attention.
Well, yeah, much people don't play kind of Facebook games anymore, do they?
Well, considering now, you know, all the Playfish ones are kind of gone, aren't they? Which was a lot of the ones people were playing as well. But then again, everyone plays Candy Crush Saga, whoever made that. Whoever did make that is obviously making a nice amount of money, I'm sure.
Yeah, but all the other hundreds of people who made even better games are making Diddly Squat.
Yeah. Like, Insomniac are always promoting their little Facebook game, but I don't know how well it does. But yeah, there's tons of games out there, isn't there, that people start playing.
Yeah.
Poor video games.
Like World of Tanks, that game's really struggling somewhere here.
It's time for Name That Game.
Okay, so last week, you guys would have heard this.
It was the sudden appearance of a warp storm at the Kauravas system's outer edge that first caught the attention of the Imperium.
So we had a few. So Catherine guessed Dawn of War, without specifying which one. We had.
Well, actually, no. I guessed the winter one, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Judah Hunter said Warhammer 40,000 something or ever. No one actually guessed a specific game.
It I think we had a comment on the blog. I'm sure we did. That Christopher Horvath guy that's guessing.
Not again.
War. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. I'll double check for you. Did you not? Did you not want to give him GZs?
I didn't see anything. No. And I certainly didn't see anything drop in my inbox.
No.
But then I delete most of the stuff anyway.
I'm pretty sure I saw it when it was up as a comment that needed to be... Okay, yeah. He said Soulstorm.
What? Is that real?
Yeah. I don't know who this guy is. He's guessing name that game all the time.
He's probably got access to my flipping OneNote... workbook. I've changed the vivid password
he
on it.
You guessed it back on the 25th.
So yeah, the answer was Soulstorm. So GZ to this guy who...
Christopher Horvath.
Is that how you spell it?
Yeah, you've learned how to spell his name now that you've given him GZ like 3 times. I guessed one of them, didn't I? Was it Winter or Soul? I don't know.
Yeah. Is that definitely how you spell it, yeah?
Mm-hmm, that's how you wrote it on the comment.
This week, we got something a little bit different.
Okay.
What is that? An iguana? This has to be the strangest office tour I've ever been on.
Don't worry, Parker. Our next stop is the Nanobot Lab.
No clues for that, since it's practically given away in the game. Or in that little clip.
Nanobot Lab.
That's not the bit you should be focusing on. That's not related to it either.
What is that?
That's coming up next, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay, so multi-platform game. It came out a year, maybe two, maybe 3 years ago. It's fairly recent. Yeah. Come on, people. I need a guess. Those listening after the show's been recorded, send an email to feedback@gamercast.net with your guess, or leave a comment on our website, gamercast.net, and perhaps Catherine will check that. Some guy says Spider-Man.
Judo Hunter.
I don't see whatever it's supposed to be. Which Spider-Man, though? That's the question, because there's been Deadly Sonic.
Did they say Parker in it?
No comment.
Can I listen to the show, like, afterwards?
So you don't... Okay, I don't know, because I don't listen. Pay attention. Someone says The Amazing Spider-Man, so we'll roll with that. ASK28. Right, we've also got a little something extra for this week as well. We're doing a visual Name That Game.
So only for people
so
watching.
Obviously people, you know, who listen to the podcast won't have much success with this. But those who are currently watching the live feed, you will promptly see a screenshot of a game. And you need to name this game. So what game is this unusual character from?
Hints
is probably knocking on for about 10 years old.
Any other hints?
He looks weird.
Yes.
So yeah, if you guys know what that is.
Is that the only hint?
Yeah.
He's knocking on 10 years old.
Probably not. Well, I don't even know, to be honest, but probably something like that, yeah. So yeah. guesses to feedback@gamercast.net, and you will get GZs. Obviously specify if you're guessing towards which one.
Although of course only people listening now will be able to guess.
Well yeah, but people can go back and watch it on the Twitch channel, can't they?
Oh of course, yeah, it's always on Twitch.
It's always on Twitch until they delete it, because I don't bother archiving them, because they're all in my documents folder, gradually growing bigger and bigger. Maybe one day I'll upload them or delete them altogether. La, la, la.
New releases this week.
Yeah, only a couple of games coming out this week.
Yeah, first of the two is
Project X Zone.
Yes, this is a Capcom.
This is a 3DS sort of tactical role-playing game featuring characters from Capcom, Namco, Bandai, and Sega franchises.
Is it?
Yeah, don't you know that?
I thought it...
About 50-odd characters in the game.
I thought it was a fighting game.
Yeah, tactical role-playing.
Oh, game. It is tactical. Solo units, pair units. I obviously read at some point finishing moves and thought, that sounds like a fighting game.
It's a good job someone does their research for the show, isn't it, Catherine?
I was going to be reading it off. It sounds like Jump All-Stars, but just a different type of game. Because Jump never came out over here, but was like an amalgamation of different characters. Whereas this, of course, as Paul said, what was it you said? Capcom, Namco, and Sega.
Namco, Bandai.
They've got examples of people from Tekken, Shining Force, EXA, Mega Man 10. You're supposed to be discovering the cause of the rift and stopping evil from coming through and spreading
the
into their
rift.
World. So yeah, that's coming out, 3DS only.
Nobody also else. Coming out is a game called Dark. This is a fantastic game where you play a guy called Eric and you have vampire powers. But don't think you're playing a traditional vampire. No, he's wearing a hoodie, so he's obviously cool.
Well, it's like a stealth vampire game. Third person... in a way, third person cover shooter style game. But you've got different vampire skills. You can... is it called Glimmer or something like that? I don't know what the term is. But he can hop apparate for anyone who knows what that is. So he can go from, like, little teleport kind of jump thing. And his shadow kind of goes whoosh with him when he teleports.
As opposed to staying over there.
Yeah.
Why would it stay over there anyway?
But yeah, he's got a variety of skills, and you're making your way through different environments. I remember seeing a museum environment when we first saw it at E3 last year, when we saw E3 last year. And it's finally coming out on Xbox 360 and PC only. There's a special kind of edition that you can buy off Amazon, I believe.
Amazon?
See, they call it a stealth-based action adventure RPG. But yeah, so it's a newish vampire game. Not that many vampire games come out. As, you know, guy in the chat room says, Vampire Masquerade is probably the last... favorite vampire RPG game? What about Soul Reaver. Legacy of Kain games are good. Of course, there were more recent ones which potentially weren't that great, but like PS2 ones and stuff like that, but can't forget about Kain.
Boom.
And those are the only two releases coming out this week. I don't think all stores are actually selling Dark either, because when I was looking around and checking about the release date, not everywhere has it. I think of him as a vampire, and he's got the coolest game mechanic in the whole world, switching. Like that. So what it'd do, he'd go whoosh and switch.
Surely the coolest game mechanic is in the whole world is the thing that flipping id got rid of in Doom 3 BFG edition.
It's an amazing thing that, what, having a flashlight. Yeah. Put it on. Let's mount the flashlight on your head. Plonk. It's a shame actually, because it was kind of mentioned on the internet recently that Square Enix were making a new Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver style game at Climax, and sadly it was cancelled. But of course, with the trouble Square Enix are having at the moment, you know, not making as much money as they want or needed from like Tomb Raider and Hitman and stuff, and then letting go of people as well and cutting jobs and whatnot.
Well, Square Enix, it's no wonder that they cancelled. Are they a publicly traded company? Because that generally seems to be the trend, that publicly traded companies are paralysed by their shareholders insisting on getting revenue back.
Well, I don't know, it was crazy because Tomb Raider sold really well and apparently they weren't happy with it, because it didn't make an extra 10 million or whatever than what it actually had done, or something crazy.
Just think, if Everywhere didn't sell pre-owned copies of it now, they'd still be getting money.
Do you think you'd still actually be able to find it?
Well, yeah, if you didn't have pre-owned, obviously people would stock back hats.
Do you think that would happen then, if pre-owned wasn't stocked? Because that's the one thing...
Yeah.
That's the only reason I see for pre-owned, because there's games that you just can't find anymore.
Yeah, the reason you can't find them anymore is because retailers don't bother buying them in, because they buy them in from Hobo Joe Public for 50 pence. Mm. Innit?
I still think they, like, I don't know, DS games and stuff like that. Like, I was looking in a store the other day and they had Tingle, and it's like, even if pre-owned wasn't about, I'm sure you still couldn't find a copy of Tingle brand new.
If there's demand, publishers will obviously re-release it,
I suppose. Had a pretty small release
anyway. Since they wouldn't be competing with the flood of pre-owned crap, they'd be more willing to do more runs of it.
It's a shame, I'd like to see that actually.
Yeah, someone was kind enough to say that Square Enix from the Tokyo Stock Exchange. So yeah, they're probably getting stitched over like everyone is at the moment.
It would have been interesting to see a new game in that series. I didn't realise Square owned the licence for it. Oh, of course, it's Eidos, isn't it?
Eidos!
I think the last one was Eidos.
I remember Eidos.
When they were cool.
Yeah. What happened to you, China? You used to be cool.
That's kind of it for this week.
That is it for the show. So we'll be back next week with episode 246. Get those guesses in for Name That Game and Guess This Screenshot,
is that what it's called?
Sure.
Sure.
I don't know, I just...
Did you just come up with it?
To be honest, I was just going about my business on the internet today, and I found two things that I knew I had to get into the show. One of them was the Quake Free bots, because now for the rest of history I can say that Quake Free bots are invading your game because they've gotten so intelligent and they're just going to take over it. The other thing is this stupid screenshot, which had me in fits of laughter for about 20 minutes of how ridiculous looking it was. So yeah. And do you know what the sad thing is? I actually played that game.
Yeah. So you know what it is.
Directly. I know what it is. I unfortunately definitely know what it is. Now I think they should have done a sequel, but never mind.
A sequel?
Ooh, maybe they did do a sequel. Who knows? So yeah, we'll catch everyone later.